Turn to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. He says in verse 1, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who should be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." Now, Father, thank you for the Word of God. Pray in this short time you'd help us to learn some principles that would make a difference in our lives and show us, Lord, what we need to see and understand. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as we look at this passage of Scripture, he says to him, "Thou therefore, my son," in chapter 1 he was talking about the things that he's done, how he's trusted in the Lord, and not to be ashamed of of his calling, how God has provided for him, excuse me, and all the things that he's done. And then he comes up and he says, "Thou therefore, my son, because of these things, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Now, notice there's a lot of talk about grace today. There's a lot of talk about grace that basically is looking at the focus of God not imputing our sins to us. But that's not the end of grace, that's the beginning of grace. And we're to be strong in the grace, not the grace that people preach, but of the grace that is in Christ Jesus. If all you focused on what a lot of these people talk about grace, you just talk about, "Oh, my sins are forgiven." But grace is more than that. That's the starting point. And so he says, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Not strong in yourself, not strong, not the arm of the flesh, not your wit, not your wisdom, but in God's grace. Because grace makes a difference. It changes lives. And he said, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Now, there's a lot I could say about that passage of Scripture, but I will say this, it's very clear that the idea of the things that have been learned, they need to be passed on so that other people can be taught. They need to be passed on to faithful men. Alright? And they need to be taught who should be able to teach others also. So there ought to be a focus on that, getting the gospel out. Notice, this is the thing that we need to understand. You know, I sit up here and I preach the Word of God to you, and I do my best to rightly divide the Word of truth and to preach to you the truth. But at some point, it's got to go out from here. At some point, there's got to be somebody who's willing to teach others also. We're talking about the world, the culture that we have in, people needing to get saved, it'll make a difference in their life. Who's going to tell them? Who's going to teach them? Then he says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Endure hardness as a good soldier. If you're going to serve the Lord, there's going to be difficult times. If we're going to serve the Lord, there's going to be tests, there's going to be challenges. I can guarantee you right now, we're going to set out to at least, the goal is at least to double the number of missionaries we support. Do you think the devil's going to let that go? Do you think he's just going to roll over and say, well, they've decided to increase the missionaries. I'm not going I best leave them alone. No. That's why it requires prayer. It requires us willing to endure hardness. We talk about missions giving. A lot of people don't give to missions because they're afraid to endure hardness. They're saying, well, if I give this money, it's going to cause me a hardship. Huh? Well, if God put it on your heart to give and you by faith give it, you get to prove God, don't you? You get to put God to the test, don't you? But it may require you to endure a little hardness. It may require you to deprive yourself. And then later you're going to find out that God gave you more than you thought you were depriving yourself of. And I know that I can say that by 100% truth. But the simple fact is, the thing is, there's a war on. There's a battle to be fought. And that's why he says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must first be partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Now, I want you to look at this from a proper perspective. Alright? If you're in a battle, the focus ought to be victory. You know, I'm from Texas. And I know some people that were in a little mission in San Antonio, Texas, in the Mexican army around them, in thousands, outnumbered by thousands. And they sat there, and a fellow by the name of William Barrett Travis, he ought to read that letter he sent out. But he called for help from all the people. And he talked about how the Lord had preserved them at this point, and he actually gave some credit to the Lord. But he ended up saying, victory or death. Victory or death. He said, we're here, we're fighting for the liberty of the state of Texas, of this, or the nation of Texas. We want to be a free people. And he said, I'm here, I'm outnumbered by the enemy. He said that we've been receiving cannonade constantly, and we haven't lost a man, and so we're thankful for that. He said, the enemy has come, and they have said that unless we surrender, the garrison will be put to the sword. And he said, I've answered with a cannon shot. He said, he ended up saying, victory or death. He said, I'm going to endure hardness as a good soldier. I'm not going to surrender. I'm not going to retreat. I'm not going to quit. I'm going to keep doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I was sent here to hold this fort, and I'm going to hold it as long as I possibly can. I'm going to hold it till we fall or help comes. And you know, Travis and Bowie and Crockett and all many other people names that were there during that time that were there died at the Alamo. Those being the three most famous names, Jim Bowie, Davy Crockett, and William Barrett Travis. But there were several other people there whose names don't ever get mentioned. And they endured hardness as a good soldier, and they died. But their death became a rallying cry. Remember the Alamo. Remember Goliad. And that little ragtag army defeated who called himself the Napoleon, the man that called himself the Napoleon of the West, and beat him at San Jacinto. And they did that for just earthly liberty. We do it for a much greater cause. So just to endure a little bit of hardness to serve the Lord is not a bad thing. And we ought to realize that that what's most important is not the everyday little things in the sense of that, but it's the eternal things. It's who's chosen us. And then he says, if a man also strive for masteries, he's not crowned except he strive lawfully. In other words, we need to do the Lord's will in the Lord's way. Do the Lord's will in the Lord's way. We do it the right way. We don't try to cut corners. We don't sit there and try to come up with some better idea than what God has. We just continue on doing what God says. And he says also, the husbandman that laboreth must first be partakers of the fruit. You know, that goes to salvation as well. You know, you can talk about salvation all you want to, but you need to be saved first. You won't be laboring for God until you get saved. You can't do any work for God until you get saved. And then when we talk about trying to make a difference and trying to labor for God, you're the husbandman, you're trying to plant. It's good common sense. People don't sit there and plant food and raise it up until they die, and then somebody else step in to finally feed somebody. No, the people that are there, they have to be partakers of the fruit. You labor, but you have to partake of the grace of God. Can't do the labor of God without the grace of God. Can't do the labor of God without the power of God. Can't do the labor of God without the direction of God. Think about that. He says, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. So, there's a clear picture. And then he says, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Now notice that's important. Jesus Christ of the seed of David. In other words, that's a testimony that Christ was the Messiah. That he was the Savior. This Jesus we preach, he is the Savior of the world. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. That's what we believe. And that's who he is. And he said, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. So this goes to everything we talk about. He said, you need to endure hardness, because I tell you what, I'm enduring hardness. I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. People lying about me, saying I'm doing something evil, doing something wrong, and I'm not. And he said, but the word of God is not bound. By the way, once again, you know, we talked about this. We talked about enduring hardness. And the other thing that we need to understand is that we look at ourselves and we see our limitations. But God's word is not bound. God's word can make the difference. God's word is true, it's pure. And he said, therefore, because of that, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Now, when he talks about the elect's sake, Paul doesn't know who the elect are. I don't know who the elect are. God doesn't. The only elect I know for sure is me and the Lord Jesus Christ. He's God's elect. He's the elect. He's the Savior. All right? And he said, I'm doing this for every person that will get saved. I don't know who they are, but I'm going to endure all these things for the elect's sake. I'm going to endure this so that people will get saved. I'll endure hardness so that people can get saved. The devil stirs up trouble because he knows human nature and he knows that we run away from hardness and pain. We want ease and comfort. Most of us just want to live our lives and be left alone. Isn't that true? But we need to go further than that. We need to realize we have a greater importance. And there are things we need to endure so that other people may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. He said, it is a faithful saying, if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. In other words, God's not going to change. It doesn't matter what you do. He's not going to change. His purpose isn't going to change. His focus isn't going to change. You can deny him, but he won't deny you. He'll deny you before his Father, but he won't deny himself. Doesn't matter whether you believe or not, Christ is not going to change. There's a cost to unbelief, but there's a certainty to faith. And that certainty is based upon who Jesus is. There's a certainty to faith. He said, of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. He said, don't sit there and argue and fuss and fight about words to no profit. Most of what people are fussing and fighting about is really just a symptom. You know? It's like there's a terrible disease and this person is arguing because he's got a runny nose and that person is arguing because he's got a cough. He says, no. He said, the problem is, that one fellow says, the problem is a runny nose the problem is coughing and no, the problem is shortness of breath and no, the problem is a fever or no, the problem is an upset stomach or no, You're all arguing about something that you're really never getting to the point. We look at our culture and the things that are gone. The problem that man does not want to deal with is sin. Everything else is just a symptom. Don't do that. He said, study, show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. When you and I get all mixed up in things that don't have anything to do with the Word of God or get mixed up in false doctrine and we get our focus on that, it always increases to more ungodliness. It eats like a canker. He gives us the example of of these two, Hymenaeus and Philetus. And what did they say? They were saying, well, the resurrection's passed already. Resurrection's already happened. If you read Matthew chapter 28, you find out that after Christ's resurrections, many of the bodies of the saints that were there arose. The Old Testament saints, they rose up from the dead. And they appeared in the city and testified unto many. Just a little footnote in there. And maybe from that or something else or some other thing, they were saying, well, the resurrection's over. And they overthrew the faith of some. Had to deal with many people in my time trying to tell them that they could be saved when they were telling me there was no way they could be saved. Preacher, you don't know what kind of person I am. Preacher, you don't know what the things I've done. Preacher, you don't know this, you don't know that. I said, you don't know, you're right, I don't know that, but I do know what God said. Sure who that is, but anyway, the simple fact was that we look at the Word of God and we're supposed to shun profane and vain babblings. Why? Because they increase into more godliness, and that eats as a canker. It just doesn't do any good. And it leads to false doctrine. We'll stay with the Word of God. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. And therein is the focus. When we name the name of Christ, we ought to just stand with God. What God says is right. What God says goes. What God says is correct. We don't care what the world says. We don't care if any other thing. The foundation of God standeth sure. The Lord knoweth them that are His. If you're God's child, He knows it and you know it. If you're not God's child, He knows it and you know it. It's a matter of your heart. Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? Have you generally, not can you repeat the words, but have you generally trusted Him? Have you trusted Christ your Savior? Have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? And there's the simple fact. And he tells us, he says, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. In every house you have vessels. You have garbage cans, right? That's a vessel. Right? And then you have nice dishes. Those are vessels. All right, some to honor, some to dishonor. Some you might have a vase that you put flowers in for beauty. There's a vessel. Every house there's those type of vessels. God has those vessels in His house. Those that reject Him, those that persist in their unbelief, they're going to end up accomplishing God's will one way or another. God's will is going to be done despite them. And God may even use them, just like He used the heathen to correct Israel, His people. Right? He used Cyrus to bring the Jews back from Babylon, didn't He? So we think about that. Some can be honored, to honor, some to dishonor. God has a purpose. God has a plan. And God's will be done in everybody's life one way or another. It'll be His will in salvation or His will in judgment. His will be done. So what's our job? He said, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he should be a vessel unto honor, sanctified meat for the master's use and prepared to every good work. We're supposed to purge ourselves from those that are laden in iniquity. Maybe on how we choose our friends. Maybe on how we choose our who's got our ear, who we're listening to. Maybe family. Maybe down the line. comes a time when there needs to be a purging. Needs to be a change in your life. Your relationship with people needs to change. You know, when I got saved, my relationship with people changed. Those that were my friends became a different group of people, became people that I didn't want to hang out with. I didn't want to hang out with God's vessels. I wanted to hang out with the vessels to dishonor. I was happy being a trash can. I don't want to be a trash can anymore. So there's a purging. And I want to help other trash cans be made a vessel of honor. But the focus is we have to separate ourselves to be a vessel unto honor, sanctified meat for the master's use, and prepared unto every what? Good work. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. Flee youthful lusts. Think back to your youth. And those things, that headstrong attitude, that desire and living for pleasure, put it all away from you. I was talking to the young man out there this morning, and we were talking about your motorcycle, brother. And he was like, boy, he said, I sure would like to get me a bike like that. He said, I'm just afraid I'm going to hurt myself with it. Kind of like he was talking. And I said, really? He said, what? He said, I always get something like that or get on something like that. I said, he said, I always want to see what it'll do. And I said, well, I understand that. I said, there's what you want to do and then there's what you should do. And he kind of laughed. He said, you're right, preacher. He said, you're right. You know what that's called? It's called a youthful lust. And sometimes people get older. And we got a whole industry of ideas of fleeing youthful lust and everything like that. That you go on there and they've got all these dating services for older people, right? Huh? They do. You know, I'm sitting there and I think I saw three of them in a row. One was for older Jewish couples. One was for silver singles, and the other one was our time or something like that. I'm sitting there scratching my head about this, and you know they're talking about finding people, and they're all talking about all these things they're doing, and all this retirement. And you know we have a culture of people today, and this is an absolute fact. This is an absolute fact. And I actually had a person in the nursing home ask me this. He said, preacher, he said, would you give your blessing to us, me and this one other woman in the nursing home, would you give your blessing to us living together? And the nursing home was going to let them pretty much shack up. Yeah. Now, the nursing home has a vested interest because they get money out of the deal. But the reason they didn't want to get married is because they actually get penalized on their Social Security and those and benefits by being married. They actually lose some. And so now we got a bunch of people for money are shacking up. Shouldn't shack up. Should do right. I mean, I'm just simply saying that is happening, and it's becoming an industry in our nation. You know what they're doing? They're following youthful lusts. Want to have the companionship and everything that goes along with the marriage, but they don't want the commitment. Hello? Think about it. That's what's happening in this world. Seeing wickedness of all kinds. Just forget that. Follow righteousness. Follow faith. Follow charity. Peace with them that call on the Lord out of the pure heart. You know, if you hang around with people and your only interaction is with folks that do wickedly, don't be surprised if you start picking up bad habits. We tell young kids all the time, don't try to get in a whirl over somebody and think that you can change them. And watch your friends, because they're going to have an impact on you. Well, maybe I can have an impact on them. You will not have an impact on them unless you are sold out to God. You will not have an impact unless you're willing to stand and separate yourself, if need be, and endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. But if you try to befriend people in that regard, you need to be careful. Who should be your friends? I can be a friend to anybody, but I choose my friends very carefully. I will be a friend to anybody, but I don't require them to be a friend to me. And I choose my friends very carefully. And you should follow these things with them that call out the Lord on a pure heart. That's the kind of people I want around me. That's the kind of people I want to hang out with. That's the kind of people I want to fellowship with. That's the kind of people, I mean, because those are the ones that I can trust the most. I mean, if people trust the Lord, you ought to be able to trust them. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. Foolish and unlearned questions. So many people ask a lot of questions. They ask the wrong questions. They sit there and they do that, and all they do is cause more fussing and fighting. If the questions you're dealing with don't cause anything but fussing and fighting, and just cause strife, then something's wrong. And he says, the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. Now, if dealing with the lost causes you to turn blue and apoplectic and mad and hateful and everything else, you're not doing it right. What are you supposed to be? Well, you're not supposed to strive. But you're supposed to be gentle unto all men. You know, the Bible says a soft word turneth away anger, turneth away wrath. A soft answer turneth away wrath, I believe is properly. In other words, you don't have to answer back in kind. We're not to render evil for evil, nor railing for railing, but contrarywise blessing. And you say, well, I don't know how to do that. Well, maybe you need to think before you speak. Maybe it's time to pray about what you ought to say about it. In this day of online, people just throw insults left and right at one another. That's all they do. You look at most of the stuff online, it's back insults, insults, insults. There's very little dialogue, very little talking, very little actual dealing with anything, whether it comes to politics, religion, or anything else. Just a bunch of people fussing and fighting and striving all the time. And he says, they're apt to teach and patient. You know, people that are ignorant need to be taught. They need to learn. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. And that's something we need to understand about a lost and dying world, is that they oppose themselves. They're in opposition. They think they're opposing you, but they're opposing themselves. They're fighting against themselves. They're actually helping their enemy. They oppose themselves. He said that's why meekness is instructing those that oppose themselves, that peradventure God will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. When before I got saved, I was a captive of the devil. And wherever he wanted to intervene in my life, he was free to do so. And that is the way the world is. That is why they need to hear the gospel. That is why we need the power of God. That's why we need the Spirit of God to work in people's lives. Why? Because they're captive. They're taken captive by the devil at his will. Sometimes we fail in falling back in that old habit of living according to the flesh. If you live according to the flesh, it's going to cost you. But they can't live any other way. They don't know any other way. You know, even their best is self-righteousness and an affront to a holy God. Now, their best should never be better than our best. That's a shame to us. But there's a world they need that. What is the problem with them? They're prisoners. You know, Brother Larry and I were going into the jail. And we didn't spend our time in there fussing at those people because they were in jail, in prison. We tried to show them that there was a way to be forgiven, that there was a better way to live. And there was a God in heaven that could make a change in their life, and they could change from what got them there to something better. They were taken captive of the devil by his will, at his will. Well, just whenever he wants to. Isn't it amazing? Have you ever seen people or tried to witness to people and tried to share the gospel and they became interested and all of a sudden, out of the blue, somebody from their past comes up and derails them? I remember we one time had a young lady who didn't have nowhere to go. She had a couple, she had two kids, two children. Was it two boys? And we brought her in the house, and she was coming to church and everything like that. And we were trying to take care of them. We were trying to find them a place to live. We were trying to do all these things. And some people showed up one day at our house. And they were old friends. And they left. They said, "Well, I'm going to go spend some time with these old friends." And we said, "Well, you need to be careful what you're doing." And you know what? They left our house, and then we're back out on the street. Because we couldn't get them saved. They wouldn't make a profession of faith. And the devil stepped in and took them right out of our home by bringing somebody in. They were taken captive at his will. That's the way the devil works. You get somebody that's yearning for freedom, and here's the freedom of the gospel and salvation by grace through faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And what happens? The devil sends people along to try to push them away from that path. We pleaded and we begged and we did everything we could. But they went on their way. Lives just turned miserable and got worse. I think one or both of the boys, one boy ended up as a sodomite and the other one ended up in jail. What a shame. Breaks your heart to think about that. But that's what we're facing. Stop looking at yourself. You know, on the one hand, we look at ourselves and say, "But for the grace of God, that's who I am." But on the other side of that, you have to look at it and say, "I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. I once was a captive, but now I'm free." And we'll look at them and say, "Well, I'm just, you know, like you are, but I don't relate to people. I deserve to be in jail, but I'm not in jail. I deserve to go to hell, but I'm not going to, because I'm now free by the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm free." And that's you have to understand that. They're not free. they're captive.
So what do we need to do? In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, that God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. That's what we've got to focus on. Any questions on 2 Timothy? Any questions on 2 Timothy chapter 2? All right, well, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll close the service. Father, thank you for this day. Help us to see, Lord, what great things you've done for us. And help us to see that those that are lost, that they need the salvation we have. Lord, help us not to get caught up in things that are worldly and fleshly, and to flee those things like youthful lust we ought to get away from. Father, we just pray that you'd help us to see the truth of your word. And Lord, help us to strive for mastery and for victory, but to do it lawfully, to do it your way. And Lord, please help us to be willing to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Help us to realize that there's more things important than the little piddling things that we think are important in our life so many times, and the things that aggravate us and upset us. Lord, help us to just lay all those things and put those things in your hands, to cast our care upon you. And Lord, help us to be willing to, if need be, suffer for the cause of Christ. Bless your people as we go, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.